Well, we're pleased to welcome to the program today Ken White. Ken is the chair of the Shubungagungamog Nipmuc Indian Council. Also, Gary McCann, and Gary is a policy consultant with the Mohicanook Intertribal Committee on Deer Islands. And we're chatting about Long Island off the coast of Quincy, which is owned by the city of Boston, and the issue of redevelopment there, and the issue of rebuilding the Long Island Bridge, and the issue of an ancient Native American burial ground. So Chairman White and Mr. McCann, first of all, thank you both for taking part and participating. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure. And as I was mentioning before we started recording today, when I told folks that I was going to be speaking with both of you about this issue, they said, gee, I didn't know there was an Indian burial ground on Long Island. But Chairman White, I thought maybe we could start with you and ask you about that site on Long Island, what it actually is and its history.
Well, the site, when the proposed bridge is going to come over to Long Island, on the southern part of Long Island, through archaeological surveys done years ago, it was considered a highly sensitive area for burials, ancient burials. So we're not either for or opposed to, for the bridge. We just don't want that area excavated before there's an environmental impact study done on it. We feel this should be done before they start construction, and that way they'll know if there actually is remains or artifacts there before they start the project. Boston has said that they have a program that they're going to implement if they do come in contact with some burial artifacts or bones, they'll stop construction. As with NAGPRA, Native American Graves Protection Association, that's also there. They have to stop by NAGPRA rules if they come across burial sites. However, we feel the environmental impact study before any excavation would be better than, well, we want. So our great ancient grave sites aren't disturbed. If they're there, we want, this will show it they're there, and we want to stop the construction before it starts. I'll work some kind of deal for reinterment. But the plan that Boston has, that they'll stop if they come across any of those burial sites, that they'll stop and they'll do a survey then. We went through that with Deer Island. We've been through this once before, where they were going to work with us, and it didn't work out. So we're not going to go through that again if we can help it. So that's mainly what we're trying to do, is to preserve our burial sites before excavation.
Who is actually buried there? What is the history of that location on Long Island?
Well, Gary's probably the one that can fill you in more on that. He's the historian here.
Okay.
And the researcher, but we're not really, really positive. That's why we want to have the study done beforehand. We're not there. It's said to be at least 1,000, maybe 2,000 unmarked graves on Long Island. And this is a highly sensitive area, like I said. So we would like an environmental study on that area before construction.
Sure. Mr. McCann,
maybe go to Deer Island route.
Yeah, I understand. I know that you had claimed that the remains were disturbed on Deer Island, and some of those even dumped into the Quincy quarries as used for fill. Is that right?
Yes, that's what I understand. Yep. And it was done during the evening hours when nobody around, when they were supposed to have a representative from tribes to look to oversee what was being taken out, and apparently they removed the dirt at night with nobody watching, so it's kind of underhanded.
I see. Yeah,
we don't want to go through that again.
Mr. McCann, could you maybe shed some light on the Long Island site and its history?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So we've got to go back to the history of the King Philip's War, because that's what we're talking about, the specific concern on Long Island. And during the King Philip's War, the colony, unfortunately, suspended the civil liberties of all Indians in the colony, set up a series of what we would call mandatory safe havens or, concentration camps or internment camps, depending on your language. And all Indians had to go to one of those five locations, or they could either be forced in or they could be shot on site. Somewhat similar to what happened in some of the aspects of the Vietnam War, where they declared certain areas safe and then every place else was a free fire zone. So that's what became of the colony. But then instead of these locations becoming safe, they began to forcibly remove the Native Americans from those locations down at Deer Island. And then from Deer Island, they were later transported to Long Island. So both Deer Island and Long Island were used as concentration camps during that period of the war. And specifically, the United States EPA in their environmental impact statement for the sewage treatment complex on Deer Island used the word concentration camp. So that's where that comes from. Now, as far as the location of the site, that has yet to be identified. And therefore, that's the caution that's being urged here, because the site hasn't been identified. Even though there's a federal law that was meant to resolve this issue after what happened with the Quincy quarries, 96, Congress has passed a law, and that's what the tribes sought to have implemented. And first of all is identification of the site. Now, the study that Chairman White referenced, in 1984, they did a study, and in that study, they determined that they thought there were 2,000 unmarked burials on Long Island, and unmarked means we don't know where they are. The combination that study also identified, as Chairman White said, the southern end of Long Island is highly sensitive, and they, during the study, they identified six previously unknown archaeological sites on the southern end of Long Island. So that whole area is sensitive as a given. And then on top of that, in 1992, the state archaeologist, Brona Simon, in a meeting at the Massachusetts Commission on Indian Affairs, indicated that she said there was 1,000 Indians from the King Philip's War period buried on Long Island, and that she knew where that was. And that was part of her justification to allow the development of Deer Island, because she said she didn't know where the site was, but she did on Long Island. That's what she said. We have yet to see the documents. She never provided the documents where that site is. So it remains unknown, even if it is accurate or inaccurate, her statement in 92. Clearly, the study says there's potential for 2,000 unmarked burial graves on Long Island. And therefore, you know, Quincy moving ahead with a request for an environmental impact review matches the desire of, like Chairman White says, it's since we don't know where the site is, the city of Boston is refusing to implement the federal law along with the other members of the partnership board for the park. So then this becomes kind of a stopgap measure, right? There's an option to do this. So this is why the tribe is moving ahead to seek to do this, because it is an option to have this environmental impact review. And the city of Quincy is pursuing it, and the tribe wants to be able to intervene in the litigation to support that because they agree with it for their own reasons, which are different than, you know, the residential traffic patterns in Squantum. They're completely different reasons, but they have a common interest to secure that through the litigation.
Yeah. So if there is already a federal law on the books, does the tribe have the backing of the U.S. Attorney's Office to force Boston to implement that?
No, I mean, the status of the tribe is that we've reached out to the Department of Justice to ask them, for example, for this particular lawsuit, not going into the federal courts, but in this particular lawsuit, and so far the Department of Justice has declined because they said it's state law and a state matter, and to shift into federal court. Of course, that's always an option, but, you know, one would hope the Massachusetts congressional delegation would begin to support the implementation of the law that, you know, Congress implemented in 1996. But, you know, the partnership board represents the island owners and includes the city of Boston, the Commonwealth, and other parties, including the National Park Service, MWRA. And they united against the tribes, completely united in 2001 to adopt a plan that was in violation of the federal law. And so it's a very uphill battle to get that federal law implemented. But that's the key to this whole situation. The reason why there needs to be an environmental impact review to protect against any desecration of any burial ground sites out there is because the federal law hasn't been implemented. And so, you know, this is why, like the letter that Councillor Harris has presented to the Attorney General should be on the side of the rule of law and the implementation of law, not just looking at it and say, oh, a state agency is involved, so I have to defend the agency, right? And surely they do. They need to defend the agency, but that doesn't, it should come at the cost of the federal statute. That's what we're saying here.
Yeah. So have you had a response from the congressional delegation as to this matter?
Well, unfortunately, there hasn't been the kind of response we're looking for. So Councillor Harris is very gracious to help the work of the Intertribal Committee on Deer Island, of which the Chibunagongomoc tribe is part of, and through two letters, one, a letter to the members of the Quincy delegation in Congress, in other words, Senator Warren, Senator Markey, Congressman Lynch, and also to a federal body called the Advisory Council on Civil Rights. That is, each state has its own advisory committee or council, and Councillor Harris has reached out. And so far, the response is, you know, they were working on the agenda on the Civil Rights Advisory Committee. It just hasn't, they had other concerns. We did hear an email back from Senator Warren's office, and that's probably the extent of it. So no, they have not, and it's not just the tribe trying to reach out to them. This is actually the city of Quincy and the chairman of the environmental committee, right? That's about as high as it's going to get from the city council level. So the federal delegation has yet to be responsive to Councillor Harris and the tribe's concerns. Hopefully that can change. You know, your program today can help to educate people, and that can only move the process further along.
Chairman White, I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about the burial grounds and if there are any, you know, ancestors living today that might date back to that 1676 time period, and any response or concern or comments that they've had about this.
Well, I don't think there's anyone alive today that could relate back to then, but if there are burials there, these are people, human beings. They all had names at one time, and they were all free at one time. And they get put in these concentration camps on the islands. It was a systematic genocide of a human race. We're human. These are our ancestors. If in our town, years ago, they had for flood control, there was a cemetery there. And before they flooded it, it was a big deal. You have to remove all those graves and reinter them in another spot before they flooded over. I understand. I don't know if this is how accurate this is, but I used to be a member of the New England Native American Institute, and a member of that board, which I was a member also, lives in Upton, and she was talking about a man-made lake in Upton. I don't remember the name. But there was a documented Indian burial ground there. Now, did they remove those grave sites? No, they flooded them. So there's your difference. It's like we don't even exist. Hmm. And, you know, I have a passion about saving our burial sites of our ancestors because, you know, they're connected to me. It's my passion. I've worked with Gary since, how long, Gary?
1993.
Okay. Working on this. And it's like we go one step forward, two steps back. So, but we're continuing to try to accomplish that. And what is the big deal with it? You do the environmental impact study before you start, or if you hit bones, you're going to have to stop and have it done anyway. Why not have it done first? Get it over with. If there's nothing there, that's fine. We're happy too. But if there is, you're going to have to stop then instead of spending money getting into it. And then have to stop and do the same thing. It just doesn't make sense to me. None of this has. I mean, it's been an ongoing thing. It's, to me, it's senseless. It's just common sense. And, you know, the right thing to do.
What, Mr. McCann, what has the argument been not to do the environmental impact review?
The argument by the Attorney General's office representing the state agency, environmental and energy, and the city of Boston is that they've already complied with the requirements of MEPA, and we're saying they haven't. And the reason is MEPA, as a process, is supposed to have all the facts, all the cards laid open on the table. And as Boston specifically misdirected the tribes, we were meeting with Boston, they misdirected the tribes so as to redirect them away from the permitting process. So MEPA did not have all the information before, and that's the point that the tribe is seeking to intervene, is the decision is flawed. The decision is flawed because Boston has had a pattern for over 20 years to avoid implementation of the federal law. They're trying to get away with it again. We're saying before you move ahead with a construction project, the federal law has to be implemented first. They didn't do it, and they tried to hide this information from the MEPA board. There's also a problem with the state historic preservation process. You have a state archaeologist, and you have the Secretary of State of the Commonwealth backing them up, who didn't even contact Chairman White or any of the tribes except for two. They contacted two tribes, and so they're not actually... they're not fulfilling what the intention of the MEPA process is. Now, the city of Quincy has its own agenda, but they happened to hit upon a right point. The decision is flawed. It does not comply with the intention of the law, which is to look at all the facts. And the facts, we know Long Island was used as a concentration camp. There are hundreds of Indians that were placed out there. Do we know where the burial ground site is? No. So what does that mean? It means caution. It means caution because the record is incomplete. It's not the now Boston wants to move ahead, do its construction, and then if they find something, then they'll say they'll do something. But we, the tribes have been through this before with Deer Island. MWRA says they're not going to remove any soil. Then we find it, we'll catch them removing soil and dumping it in Quincy, right? And Mayor Sheets in the city of Quincy, they didn't want that Deer Island soil there, right? So it's only because of the controversy of the unfortunate death of that student who died in a quarry, and they didn't want it filled before they could access their son's body, which ultimately they did find in the quarry. But the whole controversy revealed how dishonest the process has been, and there's no protection of the Native Americans, right? That, you know, states say this, the city says this, and then they do something the opposite. And then if they get caught, then the tribes are lucky, but even then they can't stop them. The tribes worked with Congress, City of Boston, National Park Service to implement a new law to prevent this from happening again. And then they just said, we don't need to involve the tribes. We can do whatever we want. And that's why the City of Boston is not trusted, because they want to have the option to develop Long Island as much as possible. There's a huge amount of revenue to be gained if they develop that island, right? And so the natural ally, of course, is the city of Quincy, because all that development is going to increase the traffic as a conduit between two different parts of Boston, the mainland Boston and Long Island. And so all the traffic and all the noise, all the pollution, all that, city of Quincy is going to have no control over that once that opens, right? Because of the need for open roads and so on. So that's why Councillor Harris, representing the interests of Squanum residents, wants to look long term. You know, what the tribes are looking for is identification and preservation of the concentration campsite and any burial ground associated with that, answering of these questions, and that should be done first, right? Not after they do the construction, and they should be trusted based on their record. They're not trusted. They're untrustworthy. And the reason they're untrustworthy is the city of Boston worked with the tribes to get the federal law passed. And then they said, we don't care about the law. So now they're going to be trusted. They'll say, oh yeah, we'll do our study. We'll let you know if we find something. Like, they already have a track record. What the mayor of Boston needs to do is commit to the rule of law, commit to the 1996 law, and implement that as the starting point before any construction plans begin. And they shouldn't be trying to deceive state agencies about what the facts are. And the state agencies should unilaterally admit they've been deceived. And the Attorney General's office shouldn't be defending attempts to misinform the state, right? It's wrong all across the board. And of course, Quincy has its own agenda, but they happen to be right in this case, right? It's a clear case. And you know, all over the world, there's different areas where there's genocide occurred or genocide policy. At those areas are set aside. Why should Long Island be given an exemption of that general rule, right? You go to Europe and you see what happened. The Nazis, of course, did horrible genocide against the Jewish people, right? And those sites are set aside to say never again and to memorialize the people. How come that cannot be implemented in Boston Harbor, right? So part of this is, a struggle to maintain the reputation of colonists to cover over this history, because people don't want it exposed. They don't want Boston and Massachusetts to be identified with it. But you know something? This is historical fact. These things happen. And by trying to cover over, you just add another chapter of injustice to Native Americans today, not in the 1600s, today, right? Either people are people or they're not. And if they are, then they should all be treated the same way, including a respect for people to allow mourning for what happened. Not like if we find evidence of that. Can you imagine that? And some of these sites in Europe, they said, well, if we find a bone of a Jewish person at the site, then we'll shut down this construction to destroy the site, right? Can you imagine that? It would never happen. But then, because they're Native Americans, they think they can apply a different standard here. It's completely discriminatory and wrong. It's across the board. City of Boston, the Commonwealth, National Park Service, you name it. And yes, the Massachusetts congressional delegation should step up to the plate and begin to work with the tribes to implement the law that they agreed with the tribes for.
Chairman White, if remains are found, what would the reinterment process consist of? How would that actually work?
Uh, Well, if there was some bones or artifacts unearthed, the Commission on Indian Affairs and the Brona Simon, the Massachusetts Historical Society, will be notified and all work would stop. And if, you know, if in fact there were bones there, then we have to decide, are we going to protect the site and not move them, or are we going to reinter those remains? That's the decision that's got to be made.
Okay. So, Mr. McCann, where does this issue stand right now in terms of an update for the legal proceedings?
Well, right now, we had a hearing in February on whether initially the previous judge wanted to rule whether Indian tribes could come in into court in Massachusetts without an attorney. And that was going to be the deciding factor. The new judge came in February and said, no, we're going to shift it to whether the tribe can even intervene at all. Oh. And then, and then made a ruling at the end of February, saying that the tribe had missed a time deadline. However, that information is inaccurate because it's based on misinformation about the nature of MIPA. MIPA is not a statute of repose as he had been formed. And so the tribe has filed a motion for reconsideration. And it's under what they call a Rule 9A process where, you know, the tribe submits the motion and then the defendants submit a counter opposition to it. And then the tribe can file another thing. So that has been bundled and sent to the court. And right now we're waiting on the decision of the judge. The judge can grant the motion for reconsideration, which allow the tribe to participate as a co-intervener with Quincy, or the judge could deny it, in which case then the tribe would have to move up to the Court of Appeals to appeal the judge's decision, or the judge could order a new hearing. And then oral arguments would be presented by both sides. Also, theoretically, the previous judge asked the Commonwealth, could he make an order just unilaterally? Does he have the authority to just order them to do the environmental impact review? And that they confirm that he does. So this judge, or any judge at any time, could just say, you know, looking at the scale of the evidence, I believe the right thing to do is order the environmental impact review. So that's also an option. So right now we're just waiting for the decision of the court, what's going to happen, whether the motion is going to be granted, whether the tribe would need to appeal the denial, whether there'll be a new hearing, or whether the judge could just say, okay, I've heard enough, you know, the point made, we will order an environmental impact review. So the tribe right now does not have, has not been granted the right to intervene. They've been initially denied based on what we're claiming is misinformation. And we're waiting to see the decision of the court.
Yeah. If, say, the city of Quincy is successful in its efforts to stop the reconstruction of the bridge, would that, force the tribe to say, okay, you know, we kind of won based on the fact that Quincy won, so we don't have to move forward? Or are these two separate cases?
Well, the tribes want the federal law to be implemented. The absence of that being implemented, this lawsuit becomes a stopgap measure. Like, if the law is not implemented, then this becomes another means to partially implement the goals. So obviously, if the bridge is stopped, then they're not going to be doing construction, and therefore there's no potential desecration of a site on the construction that doesn't happen, right? And but the goal to preserve the sites, it goes on, right? And then it'll go on in other forums. Were that to happen, then, you know, the lawsuit and the controversy between Quincy and Boston helped to provide an avenue to educate people of this history and the need of the unresolved legacy of this federal law and how to move ahead with that. And, you know, as Councilor Harris provided in his letter, you know, the addressing of the Native American heritage as within the heritage of Boston and Quincy provide an opportunity for, you know, for tourism to benefit the economies by looking at this history. It's another chapter of history. It's another segment. It's, you know, people would be interested to come to Boston and Quincy to go to these sites to learn about the history. So there's also, it's not just stopping something, but also doing something better, right? And the Chairman White and the other political leaders of the tribes are ready to be partners with Boston and Quincy to work together on how to develop this kind of, you know, respectful tourism and learning about this history so that we show that we're a society that can face its past and that different parties can work together. Like, that's been very beneficial in Europe. Why can't that same policy be applied here in Boston?
Yeah. Chairman Wright, I'm curious. It's interesting that this whole issue is happening at this time of social unrest across the country. So do you feel that unrest has maybe brought more light to the plight of Native Americans as well?
I don't know. I mean, we've been at this for so long before all this unrest ever happened, you know, and now we're dealing with an epidemic that we have no control over. It kind of brings us back in history when the Europeans came over to our land and brought with them smallpox, which we didn't know, our ancestors didn't know how to treat it. As a result, you know, hundreds of thousands of Indians, Native Americans died. Now today, we're faced with an epidemic that's, again, killing hundreds of thousands of people of all races. So I wouldn't say they're connected, but it's something to think about. You know, now this is happening to us now, and as it happened to us in the past. But that epidemic in the past was brought on by the white man giving gifts of infected blankets and stuff and smallpox. It was done for a purpose of genocide. You know, either get rid of them by pandemic, and the other thing was to take away all their food. So if you take away their corn, beans, and squash, and out west the buffaloes and what they needed to survive, you take that all away, it's annihilation. It's a genocide. There's no other way to look at it. So the reservations we have, I know I visited one out in New Mexico. It's terrible. The houses, you can see right through them. It's an alcohol problem that was brought on by the white man again. Got the natives interested in alcohol and it just carries on into today. With we have the alcohol problem within the Native community, and that's something that stuck with us and has to be addressed. That we have to do that ourselves. And are they connected? Well, maybe, but it's. I think it puts us now, the people today, in a position that what we felt back then of our people dying from something that we don't know how to treat. And but it's not. It's not treated like a genocide today. It's just, you know, you got to find a cure. And it's not a purpose that this pandemic was put into effect. I mean, it was just something that happened. I was transferred to, you know, just from one to another, from one country to another. Hopefully they can work out a cure for it.
Sure. Gentlemen, I really appreciate your time. Is there anything else that you'd like to add today?
I think just the appreciation for the City of Quincy, Council, the legal team, and especially Councillor Harris, has been really welcoming to the tribes. There was a City Council hearing April 1st of last year, and the city has been very hospitable to the tribes and the Native American community. It's just been very much appreciated, particularly when contrasted what's, you know, unfortunately, the unraveling of the relationship with Boston. So, yeah, just want to express appreciation to Councillor Harris in particular.
Very good. And Chairman White, for yourself?
I'm kind of sad that there's, you know, we never intended to have bad blood between anyone, but when you're forcing things upon us that's wrong, it's just wrong. You got to abide by your own laws. You made them, abide by them. Break your own laws. But we're an unrecognized tribe. We have no money coming in. We're just surviving as best we can. But we're not going to let destruction of our graves and our ancient grave sites be disturbed. We won't let that happen if we can help it. You know, we'll try our best. We're doing the right thing. That's all I can say, I guess. We're doing the right thing, and if everything goes against us tomorrow, all I can look at myself in the mirror in the morning and say, we tried our best to do the right thing. So I won't, you know, I won't be sad. I'll know I did the right thing. Those other people, can they look in the mirror and say the same thing? That's all I get to say.
Okay, I appreciate it. Hopefully we helped you get your message out a little bit here at QATV. Please reach out if we can help in the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. Be well.
You too.